Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's Irate Tireless Minority, and I've got the clean bill of health from my doctor saying I can talk again however I like, just not yelling. So I'll try to avoid that on this show. And my thanks so much to all the guest hosts who subbed for me while I was on voice rest, both before and after the operation, which went well. And also, happy anniversary to me, because this is my six-year anniversary show on BTR, and I would like to thank all those who listened and encouraged me and those who've been guests. And my prayer for this show has always been that the people who need to hear what I have to say will hear it, and I don't care about the rest. Well, I care about them in the sense of I care about everybody. But if you don't need to hear what I have to say, then I don't really care if you're listening. I don't really care if I get a big listenership, and it would probably be bad for me if I did, because I know me. But I'm going to jump right in here. I don't have a lot of links in today's show, and quite frankly, BTR gives me a lot of trouble putting links in, and then it makes me shorten my description, and the character count is never correct, but that's all BTR stuff. And my thanks to BTR, too, because I do this free. I signed up when it was still free to have a show, and when they switched over to everything paid, they allowed me to be grandfathered in so that I can still have a show, just not on prime time and only for 30 minutes. But since I was having trouble with my voice already at that point, that was fine with me. 30 minutes was just about as long as I could take, and this is my preferred time slot. This is when it fits into my schedule, so it worked out well for me, and I thank BTR for that. We're going to start out with politics. No men in the ladies' room, period. There is a reason that it is a ladies' room, and that is because we want to protect the weaker among us. And yes, I know feminists will say, oh, women are just as strong as men. No, they're not. Okay? This is your reality check. Women, in general, are not as strong as men. That's just the way it is. The Bible says women are the weaker vessel. It's probably referring to more than just physicality, but physically women are not stronger than men. And you don't allow men to come into the ladies' room, because when you're answering the call of nature, you are vulnerable. Now, ladies used to have hats, and that would entail, and you know, elaborate coiffures. And that would entail the use of hat pins. So at least you always had a hat pin. You could stick somebody with it. Nowadays, we don't. What are you going to do? Throw your phone at them? Excuse me. The reason you don't allow men in the ladies' room is because you are protecting the weaker sex. And the nation should protect their weaker sex. They should protect their women and children because that is literally the future of the nation. Without women, you don't have children. Without children, you have no future. I don't know how else to say that. There's absolutely good reason to be protective of women and children. And what you don't do is say, oh, here's a space where you can go when you need to be vulnerable to the call of nature, and then send in somebody who is behaving in a deviant manner. And I'm not saying that in a pejorative sense. The actual definition of deviant is deviating or departing from the norm. A person or thing that deviates or departs markedly from the accepted norm. And I think we can agree that transgender is a tiny, tiny percentage of the population. That means that by definition, they are deviating from the norm. And one of the things that healthy people do is they look for deviant behavior around them, because that's a clue that somebody might not be behaving in a way that's healthy for you. You look around somebody fiddling with their suicide vest, you should take notice and get out of Dodge. You look around and somebody's behaving in a manner that isn't normal, that's a clue that you should stay away from them. They might be diseased. They might, you know, they might be suffering from something that would cause them to harm you. That's a natural and normal thing. Now, in society, we train ourselves and condition ourselves to not react as strongly as we had once upon a time because we know more and we understand more about mental illness and about diseases and that sort of thing. And we can say, okay, maybe I'm not comfortable about that, but that person's probably not contagious. That person probably has a birth defect that caused this, or that person probably has muscular dystrophy or cystic fibrosis or something else that would make them behave in a manner that is outside of the norm, but that isn't a threat to us. And that's a good thing. But to allow somebody who is a man dressing as a woman to go into the ladies' room, that's beyond the line because you don't know. And in fact, they don't even have to be dressing as a lady. If they were dressed as a lady and could fool us, we probably don't care. Because then they are concerned about the appearance of being a woman, so much so that they would not act like a man probably. But the problem is they don't have to be acting like a woman. They don't have to be dressed like a woman. All they have to do is say, I identify as a woman, and boom, these states are saying, okay, you can use the ladies' room. I hate to call people stupid, but you're stupid. And women, if you allow this, you're stupid. And men in those states, if you allow this, you're stupid. You're going to get what you deserve. And I can see a big, fat, heaping, helping of what this country deserves coming at us. I'd prefer to avoid it if we can. So let's not enable the crazy anymore. Let's not say, oh, they're killing me, but it's okay because if I say anything against it, I'll be labeled a hater. Well, you know what? Nobody cares once you're dead. Well, at least you don't care once you're dead. No men in the ladies' room, period. It is a deviant behavior, and you don't allow deviant behaviors that can be harmful to you. And we have videos out there, videos and articles and accounts over and over and over again of transgender people, mentally ill people who behave as transgendered people, who identify as transgendered people, who use that to gain access to their victims. Don't enable the crazy, okay? No men in the ladies' room, period. And I notice that we're not having this discussion about no ladies in the men's room. Why not? Because men are stronger. And because even a mentally ill person recognizes strength, usually. Maybe not, because, you know, sometimes that's what mental illness does. It makes you unaware of what's going on around you. But in general, logical people do not attack positions of strength. You go to the weaker one. That's why the discussion is about men in the ladies' room and not women in the men's room. Because men are regarded as being able to defend themselves. I don't know about boys. That might be a problem here. You got to protect the women and children, people. They're the future. And moving on in that vein, I'm going to move on to religion. And I have in the show description, ladies, watch your social networks and be prepared to witness. Why do I say that? Because I have been getting friend request after friend request from people whose pictures show them in the military, or, well, men, not people, men whose pictures show them in the military. They have no friends listed, or if they have, you know, a smattering of friends, they're all women or something like that. And invariably, before I got to the point where I said, look, if you're looking to hook up, I'm not your gal. And, you know, I just tell them straight, but they will argue with you. I am guessing that a lot of these are Muslim men. I don't have to guess. Some of them just say right out that they're Muslim men who are looking for wives in America. They ask me. They say, I think of you as my older sister. Once I make it clear that I am married and not going to cheat on my husband, they say, I think of you as my older sister. Will you find me a wife? It doesn't matter if she's an older woman. Oh, well, thank you so much on the part of older women everywhere that you regard us as stupid. Okay? This is jihad. This is social jihad, marriage jihad, whatever you want to call it. It is part of jihad and invasion. It is an attempt to get stupid American women to get to know you and take a chance on bringing you over to this country. He's going to marry me. I'll finally be married. Whatever. No, you won't. You'll be in hell. Excuse my language. There is a reason that the Bible says believers should not be yoked with unbelievers. And it is because you don't share common values. If you want to know what it's like to marry a Muslim man, then go and find somebody who's done so. There used to be a woman on Facebook who had done so, and she kept getting kicked off because of her virulent anti-Muslim posts. And I think there's a link to her blog on my blog, which is at IrateTirelessMinority.com. And if she's still active on there, you can see her trials. They have different rules about children and divorce and how you treat people, and she has been through the mill. Thanks, Jenna. And thank you, Jenna, for joining me in the chat room. I appreciate your being here. She says, cuss away, but no, I'm not going to, because I know that one of my listeners has children. And they're homeschooled, so I don't want to offend them, and I don't want to share with them words that they shouldn't be learning from me. So ladies, watch your social network, but what you can do, if you choose to engage these people, because one of them had mutual friends, which is why I accepted the request before I was being more discriminating about it, and both these friends are strong, outspoken Christians. And I thought, well, surely this must be a Christian man. But no, it turns out he is a Muslim man looking for a bride. He says, I said, why are you a Muslim? He says, why do you want to know? Are you going to try to convert me? My answer is, of course I am. I think that the Bible is telling you about the one true God, and Islam is not. Why wouldn't I try to convert you? He says, why do you think that the Bible is right and not Islam? And I said, why do you believe a God who prides? I said, doesn't Allah pride himself on being the greatest of all deceivers? Why would you entrust your eternal soul to such a one? He didn't answer that. I don't know what's going to happen with that conversation, but I will, if he keeps talking to me, I will keep talking to him about getting himself converted. Also told him, I would not find him a wife in America if he is not a Christian. So hopefully that will send the message loud and clear. And while we're talking about Christianity in religion, this week I had the opportunity to attend the Whammy Awards because a young musician I know was nominated for Best Keyboard Player. He was my guest host several times during my recovery and voice rest. And Jenna, you're making me laugh in the chat room. Stop that. But I attended the Whammy Awards. And what a lot of nice people the musicians were. They're musicians. You know, there's going to be some quirks. It was quite the fashion show. A lot of different styles there. A lot of kilts, which I found surprising, but probably shouldn't. But it was fun. It was a fun night. There were good performances. I enjoyed it, except for the fact that one of the hosts, a local radio host in Appleton, had to open with a bunch of LGBT nonsense. Oh, I admire those people. Really? You admire people who can't tell whether they're a man or a woman. You admire them. Why? Because they continue to exist? Do they have much choice about it? Well, actually, they do. And oftentimes, they try to kill themselves. The suicide rate is very, very high among transgenders. And that's because they know something's wrong, but they can't figure out what. And instead of helping them to figure out what so that they can right their ship, society is saying, embrace the wrongness. Embrace the wrongness. Don't get better. Embrace the wrongness. Oh, you say you can fly off this cliff? Let me provide you a springboard. That's what society is saying, and that's what that man said. And not only that, but there was absolutely zero mention of God or the providence of God during that entire awards ceremony. And I found that appalling. And, you know, I want to talk to the musicians out there. You need to get your stuff together because we are at war, and we are at war with Islam. And despite the catchy little music video I just saw posted on Facebook the other day encouraging people to blow themselves up for Allah, music is haram in Islam. That means it's forbidden. It's allowed maybe for weddings or particular things, but otherwise, music is forbidden. And if there is anybody out there who needs to be aware of that and start getting active about it, it is musicians. See, they're caught between a rock and a hard place because most musicians and most of the people who patronize musicians, and this is where conservatives need to get their stuff together, most people who patronize musicians, you know, buying their stuff, going to their concerts, supporting them in other ways, are liberals. Because we're all for the arts, don't you know? And that's why it's such a punishment for musicians to not toe the liberal progressive line, because they will lose patrons over it. They will lose fans, and they will lose patrons. And the conservatives have not been stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, you're a conservative, I'll support you for that. I mean, yeah, we want good music, and we want good performances for actors, and we want art. We want good art. Art is supposed to make you think. I would prefer to start seeing some art that makes me think about good things instead of all the deviants in the world. Thank you very much. I don't need to be reminded that there's nastiness in the world. I would like to be reminded that there is good in the world. And the liberal progressives, you are not pushing good. What you are doing is you are pushing evil. Ah, yes, Jenna says, Madison Rising is awesome. All right, Madison Rising, I like them too. And they sound great. Not only are they conservative, but they sound great. We need to support the conservative artists among us by patronage. We need to stop saying, oh, art is just for stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's frivolous and nonsense. Music is one of our best weapons against Islam, because music is haram in Islam. And that's also why that little music video was pretty appalling musically. Not just for message, but the musicality of it. Can you say auto-tune? Oy, oy, oy. Anyway, moving on from music being one of our best weapons against Islam, if the music community will get their stuff together, and quite frankly, the artistic community should too, because all you LGBT springboard providers out there, Islam will kill those people, and they'll kill you for being supportive of those people. So maybe you ought to get a little dose of reality and start supporting that which protects and preserves life rather than the religion the government is trying to impose on you. Because that's what the government's doing with all this social justice, sustainability nonsense. Good stewardship? Great. Sustainability? No. No. You're trying to replace religion with social justice. And that's why social justice warriors are so rabid, because it's their religion. They're not studying it. They don't care about reality, because that's what religion does to some people. That's why I much prefer faith. See, Christianity holds every person individually responsible for their choices and for learning about God. You're supposed to find out what's going on in the Bible. You're supposed to study that thing, and I've been studying it and reading it for years and years and years, and I am still finding new stuff every single day. So, here we are. Music. We need music to be a bastion against Islam, because we are at war with Islam. The world is at war with Islam, whether we recognize it officially or not. And we're not recognizing it officially because we're all being too politically correct. We're at war with Islam, and that means, yes, we are at war with individual Muslims, because those individual Muslims who are claiming to be moderates are not. They either don't know their business, or they are fundamentally and materially supporting Islam with their charitable donations, a portion of which must go to the support of jihad. Now, I was listening to Radio Jihad Network, America Akbar, last week, and they had two guests on. They had Corey, who has just been paroled from federal military prison, and that's been a number of years, and he was put in there because of the rules of engagement and because his commanders were behaving badly. And the other guest was a man who was a soldier earlier, and he said there are a lot of our military in jail right now because they have violated rules of engagement that are ridiculous and suicidal. And that's one of the problems with the Obama administration, is that their rules of engagement are suicidal. I would not advise anyone to go into the military, because this administration in particular, other administrations in the past as well, but this administration in particular is playing social games with our fellow citizens who choose to serve us with their lives. Our implicit contract with those who choose to serve in the military in America is, you choose to serve us with your life, and we will have policies and procedures and rules of engagement that will bring the most of you home alive. That's the basic contract. Anything that doesn't do that, you're violating the contract. All this social experimentation, allowing homosexuals to be in the military, that kills people. Oh, not so much, not very much. Well, yes, if it affects unit cohesion, if it causes problems and hesitation in combat, that kills people, and that means you don't do it. Oh, but there are so many who want to do their patriotic duty. Well, guess what? There are paraplegics who want to do their patriotic duty too, but we don't put them in the military. There are short people, fat people, skinny people, people who are too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny, not in physical fitness, not able to achieve the fitness levels necessary. They don't get in. But because we're doing social experimentation to make everybody feel good about themselves, except, of course, for those fat, short, tall, skinny, physically unfit people or mentally unfit people, we don't care about them because they're not big in the political correctness scene. They don't have a lot of money to throw around at it. We have lost sight of the fact that our job is to provide rules of engagement and quality barriers that ensure the highest number of our fellow citizens come home alive from any given engagement. And you want to know something? For Obama's rules of engagement, I found recently at a little garage sale a book, the Special Campaign Series, The Foundations of Strategy, written by Captain H.M. Johnstone, R.E., and I believe he was a Scottish military engineer of some sort. And this was published, the copyright date is 1914 on the copy I bought. And wouldn't you know it, and 1914, by the way, is when World War I started. And this is a British or Scottish guy. He has a chapter in here, chapter 13 on politics, the necessary preponderance of politics. And I'm going to read that if I can fit it into these last 4 minutes, because it's a quick little read. It's a quick book, very interesting. While the interposition of politics in military affairs has often had a most baleful influence on the operations of a nation's naval and military power, it is needless to insist that such operations must be subordinated to political considerations, clearly because it's an arm of politics, the military. For a moment's thought shows that warlike operations are nothing more than an extension of a nation's political activities. When diplomacy, backed by a significant show of strength, fails to press the antagonist with due respect for the danger he is incurring, the Navy and Army are mobilized. Then again, political considerations come into play, for the choice of where to fight may have to be made under the pressure of the supposed or expressed opinion of other nations who may join in to one's detriment if their interests are not attended to. He's talking about treaties and stuff. You be careful where you start a fight because there may be treaties pulling other countries into it. So you be respectful of that in your plans. But when all the political points are duly weighed and a decision is taken, the statesman should leave the conduct of the war to the naval and military chiefs. When you've done all the political stuff that you need to do, statesmen should leave the conduct of the war to the naval and military chiefs. You don't micromanage people in battle. You've put them in harm's way. You let them protect themselves. And in the previous chapter, talking about morale, I wanted to quickly get into here. A word should be said on the remarkable influence of the religious idea. Every reader of history knows the value of the sanction of religion in relation to staunch fighting capacity. The belief amounting to assurance that God is on their side has again and again nerved men to the achievement of the impossible. This condition is a hyperbolical elevation of the sentiment of the justice of one's cause. Thrice is he armed who hath his quarrel just. And history shows that the assurance that his God is fighting on his side and that he is fighting in God's quarrel, his God's quarrel, puts a keen edge on a sword and nerves the arm as nothing else can do. Our opponents have that, but we have crippled our men by removing Christianity. We need to put it back. Christianity is our best weapon for the military. Equip them to be evangelists, and you will see results. Carpet the Middle East with Bible tracts and you will see results. But we won't do it, so we're doomed to a lot of people dying, I think. With that said, got my 10-second warning. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Thanks for joining me, Jenna. Get out there and make a difference.